You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
So allow me to reintroduce my cousin, Kara Zor-El, or as the world will come to know her, Supergirl.
Hi, this is Helen Slater, and you're listening to the Flopcast.
Live from Chicken Town, this is the Flopcast, episode 585.
You better believe it.
Yes, yes. Hello, Cornflake.
Hi. How are you, Kevin?
I'm good. We're halfway through our 80s project, these 10 episodes 80s themed.
And it hasn't gotten any less silly.
Oh, I don't think we're in danger of that happening. But there's five more of these 80s shows, including this one that we're just starting right now. So a little bit of 1985 stuff coming up very soon. But how about let's get started with National Whatever Day.
National Whatever Day!
Well, I think we're going to wind up having a little bit of 80s talk for National Whatever Day this week, but I think it's going to surprise you because I picked a celebrity birthday turning 70 on July 29th. It is the bassist and lead singer of Rush, Geddy Lee.
Yeah, that is kind of a surprising one. Didn't see that coming.
I love my Rush.
Do you really?
I do.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I absolutely love Rush. I got put on to them in, it was eighth grade. Huge fan ever since, and it has only been, I would say, magnified over time by the fact that you know that I've gone to see the Bare Naked Ladies in concert a bunch of times.
Yes.
Both from Canada, of course.
Yeah.
So,
by that measure, like, are you a huge Anne Murray fan and Celine Dion?
Yeah. And Alanis and
Alanis.
Bryan Adams and
Triumph.
Throwing Muses, I think.
No, not throw. How dare you? How dare you? It's a New England band. Come on. Throwing Muses.
Yes, I absolutely love Rush. And time again, when the Bare Naked Ladies have performed live and they're improvising, they always throw in riffs from various Rush songs. And it turns out, over the next couple of years, the band, the Bare Naked Ladies, and Geddy Lee are working together on a project. So I cannot wait to see.
Oh, weird.
Yeah, that is going to be weird.
I mean, I know he worked with the McKenzie brothers back in the day. So he does have a history of working with sillier Canadian acts.
He is fun. And of all the songs that Rush has been involved with in any way, shape, or form, Take Off with the McKenzie brothers is the highest charting on the Billboard Hot 100.
Yeah, they never really dominated the pop charts, did they?
No. And yet, if you turn on any classic rock station, you'll have rock blocks of Rush.
All right. Happy birthday, Geddy, the Rush guy.
The Rush guy.
Guy from Rush, which Cornflake has secretly been a fan of all this time.
And now I've come clean.
Well, hey, we are celebrating 1985, and the way you've been celebrating the 80s every week is you've been finding commercials from that year, and you've done it again. You sent me a pair of commercials, which I just watched moments ago. I don't think I remember these commercials, but tell us about these weird celebrity endorsements for Pizza Hut.
They are really weird, and I don't remember them either, and I'm glad. We were talking last week about Martin Mull, you remember?
We mentioned both of these people just last week.
So yeah, we were talking about Martin Mull, and yeah, Rita Moreno we were also talking about last week.
Martin Mull had a short-lived sitcom in 1984, which we talked about last week. Domestic Life, it was called, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And Rita Moreno was in the movie version of The Four Seasons, which they made a sitcom out of in 84 also.
I got to thinking about, I remembered Martin Mull doing TGI Friday commercials, but those were radio, not television. And of course, he's done television commercials too. So I had to look back and see if he had any in 1985. And sure enough, I found both Rita Moreno and Martin Mull doing Pizza Hut commercials, but not the kind of Pizza Hut commercials I remember. I remember the whole making it great slogan, like the jingle, like happy. These are going to be the saddest pizza commercials I have seen in my life.
They're playing slow, sad music, and it's just a close-up of their face as they just ramble on like a crazy person about how much they love Pizza Hut.
Talking with food in their mouths?
Yeah, yeah. They're just gnawing on pizza pie the whole time.
And talking about how they order pizza. Martin Mull actually has the nerve to tell us how to eat pizza.
So Rita, we love. Everybody loves Rita Moreno, except Sally Struthers. I think I heard Sally Struthers on a podcast and Sally hates her. Everybody else loves her. The big credit for me is the Electric Company. That's Rita who screams, "Hey, you guys," at the beginning of the Electric Company theme song. She had goofy 80s sitcom of her own, 9 to 5. She was on the 9 to 5 sitcom. In very recent years, she was on the remake of One Day at a Time. There's a documentary about her career, which is quite good. So yeah, we love Rita, but that doesn't mean we want to watch Rita eat a slice of pizza. But it turns out we do, compared to given the choice of watching either Rita or Martin Mull chopping on a slice of pie. Now, yeah, bring Rita back.
Yeah, because Martin Mull's trying to tell us what to do.
Yeah, there's goofy Martin Mull pontificating about how to eat a slice of pizza. Yeah, these were goofy, weird commercials. I don't remember them at all, but fine. Everybody go to Pizza Hut. Have you been to Pizza Hut at some time, like in the last 30 years? I'm not sure that I have.
In the last 30 years? Well, I think that includes when I was eligible for Book It. I don't remember. That's when you get the pizzas for reading books.
Oh. You were in some kind of a program where you read a book and they give you pizza? Do I sign up for this? I was not aware of this program. Wow.
You snooze, you lose.
I guess. Totally missed it. I mean, back in the 80s, when these commercials were running, I went to Pizza Hut all the time. We had a Pizza Hut in Woonsocket, Rhode Island. So, of course, that was my local Pizza Hut, where we'd chomp on all their pizza pies and we would play tabletop Pac-Man.
Oh, you had the one with the tabletop Pac-Man? Oh,
yeah, we did. It was the best.
My local Pizza Hut had that for the longest time, but then they replaced it with the tabletop Joust.
Oh, sure.
So I got my fill of Joust. But this particular commercial where Martin Mull is telling us you cannot eat the pizza crust first, I would have had a big time problem with.
Yeah, you go crust first?
Oh, yeah.
I've never noticed. We've had pizza together, but I guess I'm concentrating on my slice. I never noticed what kind of weird operation you had going.
Well, I know some people judge, so yeah. I do it kind of discreetly. I'll hide behind a napkin a little bit. But
that's your second hidden shame. First was being a Rush fan.
But back in the 80s, the crust was the only part of the pizza I ate. I didn't like pizza at all.
All right, you're insane.
So I would have had a big time objection to Martin Mull in this commercial.
Okay. That's ridiculous. This conversation is over. But next week we will move on to a commercial from 1986.
And I'll try not to have any more soul-crushing reveals.
More shocking revelations to leave the audience horrified and aghast. While we're still here in 85, I had a weird idea today. I have no idea how or if this is going to work, but I was thinking about the movies of 1985. Not a monster year at the movies compared to 84, certainly. 82, 84, 89, probably the biggest movie years. But 85 does have a lot of quintessential 80s movies came out that year. And what I did was I grabbed a bunch of them and I've got them on slips of paper, flop fight style. We're not having a flop fight.
Ooh, phew. Thank you. I didn't stretch, so I wasn't ready.
I thought what we would try to do is recast some of these movies by just taking stars from these movies and mixing them up. We're going to pluck people out of one movie and stick them in another movie and see, would this improve these movies? Would it make them much, much worse? Let's see what happens, you know?
I am eager to see what shakes out.
Yeah, here. I have no idea what's going to happen. This might be a huge disaster, but at random, I'm going to pull out a movie. The first one I have drawn is Rocky IV. Okay, we're starting with Rocky IV.
Oh, wow. All right.
This is Rocky goes to the Soviet Union to fight Dolph Lundgren, the giant, scary Russian boxer. You got Apollo Creed in there. You've got Brigitte Nielsen as the Russian lady in there. You've got the James Brown Living in America song, the big hit song from the movie.
That's, you know, right.
There was even a robot in this movie. Rocky's Weasley buddy, Polly, gets a robot.
Oh, right.
An odd lady robot that he seems, they kind of hint that he has some kind of...
They really enjoy each other's company.
Troubling relationship is blooming with the robot. Not sure we want to think too hard on that, but that's Rocky IV with a Burning Heart, the song by Survivor, as well as James Brown, Living in America. What a goofy Rocky movie. The Rocky movies just kept getting goofier, but we're starting with Rocky IV. Now, who do we want to pluck out of this movie? And we're going to kick them forward to the next movie that we draw. We could go with Rocky himself, Sylvester Stallone.
The robot.
Yeah, we could use the robot. We could go with the disturbing lady robot. Absolutely. I guess that's the move, right? We have to.
Yes, please. All right. I'll be very disappointed if
we're taking Polly's robot away from him. Now, keep in mind, when we come around to the end of this list of movies, we're going to have to kick somebody from the final movie back into Rocky IV, and that's going to be Polly's new robot.
Oh, that's amazing.
This will work out really well or really poorly for Burt Young as Polly in Rocky IV. All right, Polly's robot is getting bounced into another 1985 movie. Let's see where we're sending the robot. I have drawn... This is perfect. I've drawn just one of the guys.
Love it!
Okay, so now the lady robot is going to go to high school and pretend to be a guy.
Now, you were concerned, but I feel like this is the movie that the 80s was missing.
Just One of the Guys, an 80s classic. Joyce Heiser was a girl pretending to be a dude in order to write a newspaper article or something about the experience. You had Billy Zabka is in this, you know, from Cobra Kai.
Right.
He's in Just One of the Guys. Sherilyn Fenn, a very young Sherilyn Fenn, pre-Twin Peaks, is in there. Fun cast. But our robot from Rocky IV is now Just One of the Guys. How do you think that would work out? Could the robot pull it off and fool everybody in the school?
I'm picturing this. I tend to give robots credit for what they are capable of doing, but I don't know. What do you think?
Like, remember, like, the girl in the high school was like, falling in love with Joyce Heiser as a dude? She was all excited. She was like, oh, he dresses like Elvis Costello, and he looks like the Karate Kid.
Oh, right.
Do you think this robot could dress like Elvis Costello and look like the Karate Kid?
I would love to see the robot try. So, is the robot a competing love interest, then? How is this robot involved?
Well, in the movie... Everybody in school thought that she was a guy.
Right.
And they kind of paired her off with this dude to, like, be her friend and show her around the school. But he thought that it was a guy. And then meanwhile, of course, she's falling in love with him, you know.
Exactly.
So it gets awkward. And then the big finale is you know, she breaks out her boobs to to prove to him. Could the robot pull off that big climactic reveal scene?
Yeah, and they probably wouldn't even have to put an R rating on it because...
That's a really good point.
Because it's a robot.
Yeah.
So...
Kids can watch a robot take its top off, right?
Absolutely. Did Rosie even wear one on the Jetsons?
No, Rosie was half naked all the time.
I mean, she just had an apron.
Nothing but an apron on Rosie. Yeah, very scandalous for Hanna-Barbera.
So I think this actually solves a problem. So we're saying that the robot takes the place of Joyce Heiser.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just One of the Guys just became much more family-friendly, starring a robot. Perfect. Now, we've got to bounce somebody out of Just One of the Guys and send them ahead to the next movie. Now, are we sending Joyce?
I was wondering if we could send Billy Zabka's character.
Billy Zabka. He was the classic 80s bully. He could go bully somebody in the next movie. So let's send Billy Zabka out then. Who, man, we've been enjoying on Cobra Kai, of course, you and I.
Yes.
Billy Zabka was also in National Lampoon's European Vacation this year. That is not one of the movies that I put in the mix here. He was having a big year. All right, I just drew Breakfast Club. Sending William Zabka to join the Breakfast Club.
A bully on the Breakfast Club.
Who are we switching out to make room for Zabka? You got Molly. You got Allie. You got Judd. You got Anthony. You got Emilio.
Let's kick out Emilio.
Emilio, really?
I don't know. I'm between Emilio and Judd.
I feel like that's kind of an even swap. Or either way, like Emilio is the jock, and Bill Zabka could certainly pull that off. You know, he's the All-Valley Karate Champion.
Although it might be fun to watch Billy Zabka pull out some sushi for lunch, now that I think about it.
Some sushi like Molly Ringwald or the basket case, Ally Sheedy. I think we got to go Molly or Ally.
Let's go Molly.
All right, so Bill Zabka is going to be the princess of the Breakfast Club, going into the Molly Ringwald part. Does that mean Billy gets to make out with Emilio at the end?
Yes, please.
That's what you've been working towards this whole time. Well, Simple Minds plays behind them.
Yeah, sure. They'll say, "Don't you forget about me." I bet nobody would forget that.
Nobody's going to forget the big kissing scene with Emilio Estevez and Billy Zabka. That totally works. Okay, well, that means we're going to send Molly into some other 85 movie. We can do that. Let's see. Molly is going to Back to the Future.
Oh, boy.
The biggest movie of 1985, I believe, was Back to the Future. A great movie, a classic movie. I just saw The DeLorean a couple of weeks ago when I went to that... the Music Con, Northeast Comic Con, to see Mickey Dolenz.
Oh, they had the DeLorean on display? And
Sam Jones. They had a bunch of vehicles. They had the Monkey Mobile.
I love that.
Because Mickey Dolenz was there. Yeah, in fact, I saw Mickey get in the Monkey Mobile.
Oh, wow.
He went over across the room and climbed into the driver's seat of the Monkey Mobile. Yeah.
That's really cool.
The Monkey Mobile was there. They had the Munsters cars. And yeah, they had the DeLorean as well. Or a DeLorean. I mean, it wasn't the actual DeLorean from the movie. But there are many DeLoreans out there that have been built out to look just like the movie one. I just heard a whole podcast about the DeLorean. My friend Melinda, her podcast Dreamland, they did a whole episode about the DeLorean.
Oh.
And Melinda actually has a DeLorean. Melinda and Michael from our Retroblasting, they have an actual DeLorean. So they know what they're talking about. They could actually travel back in time, I suppose, if they wanted to. But all right, we're putting Molly Ringwald in Back to the Future. Now, is she going to replace... the obvious roles would be either Michael J. Fox or Christopher Lloyd as the crazy old doctor, you know, Doc Brown.
I think she could frizz her hair up to the point where she could replace Doc Brown.
Yeah, Doc Brown with the big, curly Molly Ringwald hair would be equally effective, I think. All right, Molly's the mad scientist. Doc Brown. You know, I've only seen Back to the Future once.
Oh?
In 1985. And it was great. I enjoyed it. I never saw it again. And I never saw the sequels.
I think I've seen the first one and the third one. I've not seen the second one.
Well, you're way ahead of me. How do you think Molly would fare as the inventor of a time machine?
I think she'd be even more convincing.
She'd be better than Christopher Lloyd. Yeah, I think I agree.
Please don't ever tell Christopher Lloyd I said that, though.
And they wouldn't have to go back to the 50s. Like, they could just go back in time to Facts of Life Season 1. She could meet her younger self.
They could.
I'd love that.
That's everything we're talking about here is a major improvement.
Yeah, yeah, you know? We're going back in time, but only about 5 years.
Time travel is time travel.
Yeah, that works. Okay, Back to the Future. That's definitely a huge improvement. We're keeping the whole thing contained in the 80s where it belongs. So if we're kicking Christopher Lloyd out of Back to the Future, we got to send him along to another 85 movie. Let me see where he's going. All right, Christopher Lloyd is going to The Last Dragon. We've talked about Last Dragon. That was a very odd little movie with karate fighting dudes. That was that guy Timok. Vanity is in this. One of Prince's ladies, Vanity, was the co-star. And Timok was like this young martial arts fitness dude who I met a few years ago, and he still looks exactly the same. Timok does not age. He's just Timok now and forever.
I think the thing is, you've got to be involved in some sort of entertainment that involves karate, because I don't think Billy Zabka looks like he's aged all that much either. And Ralph Macchio.
Oh, Macchio, absolutely. Yeah, Macchio and Taimok have found the key to immortality. All right, so Christopher Lloyd, I mean, I guess the major parts, he could either be Taimok, who is the last dragon, or the girl, or Vanity.
Do I want to trust the job of being the last dragon to Christopher Lloyd?
I'd like him to play it like Jim Ignatowski.
Yes.
You know?
From Taxi.
He should really go back to his Taxi character in The Last Dragon. I want to see like a stumbling, crazed, befuddled Last Dragon.
Well, there you go.
And then the DeBarge music starts up. Rhythm of the Night was the song from this movie. Can you imagine how confused Ignatowski would be?
He'd be looking around trying to figure out where the music's coming from.
By DeBarge. I would enjoy that.
Well, that puzzle piece has fallen right into place then.
Yeah, this was a very strange movie to begin with. This was Barry Gordy, the guy from Motown. He made this movie. He directed the movie. And I don't think he knew how to make a movie. But he just decided, I'm going to make a movie. And so he did. It's a very odd little movie. You might as well throw Christopher Lloyd in there. He's the last dragon. That works. So that means Taimok, and this is exciting because Taimok didn't really make any other movies, but it's happening now here on the Flopcast. We're about to send Taimok into a whole other movie.
We're about to change everything for Taimok.
Because he didn't really go on much in show business. Like, he was a personal fitness instructor to the stars. Like, he would work with Madonna and people like that. But didn't make a lot of movies after Last Dragon, I think. But now Taimok is starring in Pee-wee's Big Adventure.
Whoa.
Well, this just became a very different movie.
Does this mean that Taimok could be Large Marge?
It could, but why would we waste the opportunity to switch out Pee-wee Herman and slide Taimok right into the starring role, which means we're going to get to bounce Pee-wee into the next movie.
Taimok loses his bike.
This has got to be Taimok's big adventure.
I think you're right.
He loses his bike. He loses the rhythm of the night. Yeah, this would be just a much more intense, serious take on Pee-wee's big adventure.
That simultaneously frightens and intrigues me.
Yeah, like a lot more fighting, a lot more violence.
Probably get the bike back faster that way.
Oh, yeah, it's going to be like an 8-minute movie.
Taimok's just going to put the smack down.
Yeah, one or two DeBarge songs, it'll be all over. Meanwhile, Pee-wee Herman is moving along to star in a whole other movie.
What have we done? I have
drawn a Cocoon.
Oh, that is weird, Kevin.
Remember Cocoon?
I do. Super weird.
This is another one I don't think I saw again after the theater in 1985.
I don't think I've seen it. I think I've read the Wikipedia page on Cocoon. And that is what I know of it.
That's how you start your morning every day.
So yeah, I just read the Cocoon Wikipedia page.
It's a good read. Good way to start the day.
Never lets me down.
Cocoon is, it's a bunch of old people. And then there's these like weird giant egg things from space. And it makes the old people immortal, like they stop growing old because of the magic alien things in their swimming pool, something like that. And for some reason, Steve Guttenberg is there.
Oh, that is weird.
It's Steve Guttenberg. It's Tani Welch was the young woman in it, Raquel Welch's daughter. I think she's one of the aliens, it turns out. And then it's a bunch of old people, led by Wilford Brimley.
Yes!
It's a classic Wilford Brimley role, although at the time, Wilford Brimley was like 50.
But you wouldn't have known from looking at him.
Well, yeah, he looked 70, and they were even like making him up to look older than he was. They were applying all kinds of old man makeup to him because the rest of the cast was 20 years older than Brimley. But it was Cocoon, Old People and Aliens. That's what they should have called it, Old People and Aliens. They made a sequel. There was a Cocoon 2. I don't think I ever saw that.
I don't remember that.
Cocoon 1, though, was pretty good. Who are we going with here? Brimley?
Yes, please.
We're going to kick Brimley out of this. Pee-wee Herman, meanwhile, is now
a very old man.
This is old Pee-wee Herman. Amongst all the old people, it's like Hume Cronin and Jessica Tandy, a bunch of old actors like that, and Pee-wee. I think they've used some like de-aging effects on Pee-wee Herman in the recent Pee-wee projects that they've done.
I think you're right.
They found ways to keep Pee-wee forever young, even as Paul Rubens is, you know, getting on in years. But now they don't have to do those CG effects on Pee-wee anymore because he's discovered the secret of eternal youth thanks to us starring in Cocoon.
And no matter what anybody says to him, because he can't hear, he says, I know you are, but what am I?
And from here, Pee-wee could go on to have Wilford Brimley's career. He'd be the star of Our House, your favorite show.
I'm delighted and sad at the same time.
I'd watch that.
And he'd be doing commercials for Quaker Oats, I think, right?
Absolutely. Oh, yeah.
That Quaker Oats could use some Pee-wee.
Crazy, screaming Quaker Oats Pee-wee commercials. Yes. Meanwhile, Wilford Brimley is starring in a whole other movie. That movie would be Goonies. There's a new Goonie in town. It's Brimley.
It's Wilford Brimley.
One of the Goonies now has a big, crazy Brimley mustache. So what a cast in Goonies. What a fun movie. But that's, you got Sean Astin, you know, who was one of the Hobbits in the Lord of the Rings movies. And yikes, he did a million things. Stranger Things. He was Winona Ryder's boyfriend on Stranger Things. The guy that worked at Radio Shack. Sean Astin's great. Corey Feldman is a Goonie.
Right now, he's my top choice to kick on to the next movie.
We have Corey Feldman. Kiwi Kwan.
That's another option I'm thinking.
Coming right off of Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom, Kiwi Kwan was one of the Goonies. And Martha Plimpton, one of our favorites. We love Martha. Martha Plimpton was in Goonies. What a cast. You had Cyndi Lauper singing the theme song, of course.
That's
the video
right.
With all the wrestlers, which we love. What's Brimley going to do?
Is he going to be Chunk?
Yeah, there's that kid named Chunk who was played by, what's his name? I don't even know. Couldn't even tell you who that actor is.
I could picture Wilford Brimley doing a truffle shuffle, but there is also Sloth to consider
the
here.
Sloth, who was like the big kind of monster-faced weirdo-looking dude.
Another person who goes, hey, you guys.
And Anne Ramsey, that crazy, scary lady from Throw Mama from the Train. She's in there, too.
That's right.
I just saw her in a Columbo episode from the early 70s. It was very exciting. It was like, look, there's Throw Mama from the Train with Columbo. So what a cast in Goonies. You make the call. Who do you want Brimley to take the place of?
Mouth.
Which one's Mouth? I don't know what that means.
Corey Feldman.
Corey Feldman. His character was called Mouth?
Yeah.
I don't even remember that. I got to watch Goonies again. It's been too long.
Yeah, you do.
This is just a single Corey movie. There was no Corey Haim, just Corey Feldman.
That's funny. I had to think about it, because I almost just immediately said he should play Corey Haim's character, and then I realized Corey Haim is not in this.
Yeah, I prefer when Corey and Corey work together.
It's the duo of Coreys.
Because if they were both there, even if Brimley took the place of one of them, we'd still have a Corey. As it stands, we're down to zero Coreys in the Goonies, but that's just how it goes around here. All right, Wilford Brimley, there's suddenly a grumpy old man leading the Goonies.
Still shooting his mouth off, though.
Absolutely. Meanwhile, Corey Feldman needs a new movie. That would be... Well, that would be The Legend of Billie Jean.
Oh. Oh, this just got awkward.
Yeah. All right, so Legend of the Billie Jean, that's Helen Slater. That's Supergirl.
Right.
Starred in Legend of Billie Jean. It was Slater and Slater. It was Helen Slater and Christian Slater, played her younger brother. Which led to years and years of people assuming they were actually brother and sister in real life, which they are not. They just happened to both be named Slater.
I didn't know that.
But Christian Slater was in here. Yeardley Smith from The Simpsons. Voice of Lisa Simpson. She's in here.
Right, right.
The music by Pat Benatar. This is a great movie. Kind of an odd little lost classic of a movie. Legend of Billie Jean.
I'm not sure on this one.
But Billie Jean now, I think we've got to kick Helen Slater out of Legend of Billie Jean. And now...
Now it's got Corey Feldman.
It's Corey Feldman is now... It's a bit of a change. I don't know that Feldman's going to inspire a generation the way Billie Jean did on the run in the movie. But Feldman, I think people are mostly just going to be annoyed and disgusted by Corey Feldman. Like, nobody's going to care. They'd be like, you know, just turn yourself into the authorities, Feldman. Just give it up. Nobody cares. Go away.
Not quite as compelling as Helen Slater.
I don't think so. Where's Supergirl? we will all scream in protest.
Well, I guess I messed this one up by asking for Mouth to move on to the next movie.
I feel like we ruined the Legend of Billie Jean, but that's so, you know, once the Pat Benatar soundtrack kicks in, all is forgiven. We'll still have a great time. We will be invincible.
We will be invincible, and therefore I claim this one as my mulligan.
It's fine, because meanwhile, the happy news is some lucky movie is about to get Supergirl.
Oh, nice.
We're sending Helen Slater to star in Weird Science. Oh, my. All right, so Weird Science was Anthony Michael Hall making his second appearance, because he was also in Breakfast Club this year. It's Anthony Michael Hall and what's his name, the other kid, and the two of them make a girl pop out of their computer.
Yeah, that's not problematic at all.
It was Kelly LeBrock, of course. The lovely Kelly LeBrock was created in Weird Science. So Helen Slater's coming in. I mean, the obvious substitution would be switching her out for Kelly LeBrock. Almost a lateral move.
Right. It's almost too simple.
It's almost too easy that way. Yeah.
But otherwise, Helen Slater has to.
Do we want Helen Slater's Supergirl now is a pervy teenage boy creating Kelly LeBrock with a computer?
Taking the place of Anthony Michael Hall.
Yeah, we're going to put Helen in the Anthony Michael Hall role. So now we have a beautiful young woman using her computer to create another beautiful young woman.
I'm a little more okay with that.
Yeah?
Yeah. Because then they hang out and they become best friends and it's not creepy anymore.
It could go that way.
It probably won't, though.
It depends on what we want the rating to be on this movie. This could go in all kinds of directions. But either way, everybody's going to go see it. I think we just at least tripled the box office of Weird Science. So that's a win.
Weird Science just got prettier.
It absolutely did. And we've actually come around to the movie we started with, Cornflake. Weird Science was our last movie. And that means Anthony Michael Hall is now starring in Rocky IV as Paulie's robot.
I was going to say, is he fighting? Is he gonna wipe, they're going to wipe the floors with him. But I just realized,
we're not going to send Anthony Michael Hall to Russia to fight Dolph Lundgren. That would be a bloodbath. But no, he's fine. He's just a robot in an inappropriate relationship with Burt Young. And there's nothing wrong with that.
Oh, wow. It's so wrong. And yet it's so right.
He's living in America, as James Brown put it. Everything's fine. Well, that concludes our recasting of the movies of 1985. How do you think we did overall? Overall, I mean, some of these were obviously improvements. Some of these, obviously, disastrous. Overall, do you think, is it a wash? Did we do a little better on average? What do you think?
I think we just tossed out masterpiece after masterpiece. I am super proud of our work, and I don't think we could have done it better.
I'm going to say we've improved the movies of 1985 by about 62%.
Can't argue those stats.
We're heroes. All right, Cornflake, we just fixed 1985. It's time to go to Pizza Hut, but before we do, how about wrapping up the show?
I can do that. Between episodes, find us at flopcast.net, facebook.com/flopcast, on Mastodon, universedon.com/@flopcast, and on Instagram, the_flopcast. And while you're at it, head on over to Apple Podcasts. That's where you can leave us a rating and or a review. Music for the Flopcast is written and performed by the Sponge Awareness Foundation.
Well, we just made one more substitution. The new lead singer of the Sponge Awareness Foundation is Paulie's robot. You're welcome. Cornflake, thanks for going back to 1985 with me. Everybody, hope that was tolerable.
I think we gave our listeners a lot to think about. Whether they want to think about it or not, I don't know. But we gave everybody a lot to think about.
Sorry, everybody. But in any event, please do be safe, be kind, be silly. Next week is 1986, and we'll see you next week.
Peace and cookies.
I love that Star Trek does what adventure programs do. It's fun characters going on adventures wearing colorful outfits, but it tries to be more than that. It tries to say something more about humanity and tries to encourage us to be better people.
I love that it gives a really positive and really hopeful view of the future.
I like that you never know what you get with Trek, from Captain Pike to Picard to Captain Proton.
I like the Ferengi.
Earth Station Trek, a show where we talk about Star Trek from the early days on NBC to the future on Paramount Plus and everywhere in between.
Cornflake, this is the secret after show. Hello.
Hey, yeah, it is the secret after show. And you know, talking about the Breakfast Club got me thinking, have you yet seen season 2 of Single Drunk Female?
Yeah, this was a show that you taught me about last year. Ally Sheedy has a TV show called Single Drunk Female. We talked about it a little bit on the show last year, and she's the mother. Her daughter is a young woman who's a recovering alcoholic. It's a comedy.
A little dark at times, but a comedy.
A little dark,
yes.
Yeah. But quite nice. A very, very nice show. And of course, it's fun to see Ally. Ally's terrific. And it also amused us because it takes place theoretically in the Boston area, but it is filmed in Georgia, and it's very clearly not the Boston area to those of us who live around here. Like, they ride the subway, and it's like, that's the MARTA system in Atlanta. I recognize that subway system. There's a scene where they're tailgating outside a Boston Red Sox game at some giant parking lot that doesn't really exist in Boston.
Yeah, there are no parking lots near a major sports establishment in Boston.
Not that look like that, and not where you can tailgate like that. And my very favorite fake Boston moment, though, was it turns out in Boston, evidently going by this show, St. Patrick's Day is a beautiful, warm summer day. It's not miserable winter in the middle of March in Boston. It's gorgeous summertime in Georgia, so it's fine. But anyway, yes, season 2. They did Single Drunk Female season 2 this year. You alerted me to the fact that it was out, and you hinted that there was a surprise guest appearing this season who I would be excited about, but you didn't tell me who it was, so it was a surprise, which I was waiting for.
Right. You hate spoilers, so I couldn't tell you, but I've known for a couple months now who it is.
Now, the funny thing, what you didn't know, is that as the mayor and I were watching season 2, and I knew, I said, Cornflake said, there's a guest this season that we're really going to be excited about. And we're watching, and it's like a 10-episode season, I think.
Right.
But we're watching, and we're watching, and we're watching, and I'm like, I'm not seeing any guest star that I'm excited about. And it reached a point where I started suspecting that you meant John Glazer, because John Glazer, you know, from the Slipknots?
Yes.
plays her former boss, and then her new boss at her new job.
Right.
And I started thinking, did Cornflake forget that he was in season 1 and she thought I'd be all excited to see him in season 2? Because there's nobody else that even qualifies except this dude from the Slipknots. But then eventually, it took to like episode 8 or something. And finally, it was, oh, here we go, because there's Molly.
Molly Ringwald.
Look at that. Breakfast Club reunion happening. Ally and Molly were on screen together.
Now I feel like I should have told you it was later in the season.
It was very funny because I spent the whole season thinking that you'd lost your mind and you thought that...
Well, I have, but not about that.
It was great. The weird thing is they pulled... I don't know if you can see the show anymore. Because they pulled it off whatever streaming thing it was on.
Oh.
They pulled Single Drunk Female off before we finished. We had one episode to go, and suddenly it was gone.
Oh, that's irritating.
Yeah. So the mayor of Chickentown had to go on the dark web and
get the last and episode.
Somehow retrieved the final episode for us. So it all worked out. It was a Christmas miracle. All thanks to Molly and the Slipknots.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping for the TeePublic store, which can all be found at esonetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.